All right, Chris.
Here we go.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back once again. Marcus. It's a little pocket awareness.
Happy 2020.
Happy 2020. It's a brand new year.
Brand new year. Did you have a good holiday?
Well, I had a good holiday, man. It was pretty relaxed. How about yourself, man? It was good.
I had a good one as well.
Yeah. Relaxing.
Part of the new year very nicely.
Yeah, we got the new year going. It's a little pocket awareness podcast. We're live at Marley's Chandler Fashion Square. We're here. We're doing it. We're doing a little quarterback talking about, you know, getting ready for these playoff games we got. We had the wild card weekend last weekend. We're going to be going over that.
We got a little bit more presence in the 2020 year as well with some new social media.
Oh, yeah. We got some new social media going. Of course, make sure, first of all, before you hit social media, you can also make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Right? Hit the subscribe button. Search Little Pocket Awareness. Subscribe on iTunes. Then make sure you go ahead and go to Spotify as well. We're on Spotify. If we're not just on iTunes, we're on Spotify. You go ahead and hit that download button for the Spotify. Make sure you follow on Twitter, ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. Make sure you follow Chris at the Mark John NFL. Go ahead and follow me there. Then we got Instagram.
We got an Instagram, Marcus. It's all staying the same, too. It's that ALPA_QB1
for the Instagram. And then, of course, you got the Facebook page, too.
We got the Facebook page, too.
A little pocket awareness on Facebook. So we're everywhere right now.
We're everywhere right now, Marcus.
We're everywhere.
We're where you need us to be.
Yeah, wherever you needed to find us, you got it. We're there for you. So we had a little wild card weekend last week. We're going to go over the wild card. All the old guys are out. We're going to talk about the old men. See what the old men are doing.
Yes,
out here.
Sir.
Where are they going? Are they staying? Are they going to retire? We'll talk about that with all the old men. We'll do a little talk about divisional weekend too.
Little preview.
You know, got a little bit to talk about today. Got a little bit to talk about. Little thoughts. Maybe get us some coaches. The coaches. Coaching changes. You know,
there's been a lot of movement.
A lot of movement going on lately. So. Let's just get right into it. Chrissy, you got anything on your mind? Anything?
Marcus, I'm in a good mood.
You're in a good mood?
My Packers ended up getting the 2 seed.
Okay.
I spent some time over the holidays catching up on the podcast.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really feel like the Packers are a 2 seed?
Did you? Okay. You know what? So, 13-3.
I'm not asking you about the record, Chris. I ask you if you feel like they're the best, if you really, truly, deep down, feel like they are the second best team in the NFC.
Yes. Now here's why.
Okay.
Now here's why.
Okay.
13-3 in an NFL season is an accomplishment.
It is.
They were 8-1 against teams with records over 500.
Okay.
Now, they're getting a hard time because they won ugly to end the season.
Yes, they did.
They won ugly.
That Lions game is pretty ugly. So was that Bears game. Who else did they play?
It looked impressive against the Vikings in Minnesota, which was the first win that they had at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Okay. Did the offense look impressive against Minnesota?
Did Aaron Jones go for 100 yards rushing?
Yeah, but what about your boy? What about your boy Aaron? What about your boy Aaron? What is your synopsis? Before we get into any of this, we should wait till the division round to get into this. But I kind of want to get into this kind of early. I really want to know your true synopsis, Chris. Your true, just not biased, take the Green Bay out of it, synopsis of Aaron Rodgers' year.
All right. What I say he did last year.
I don't remember what you said. I
said he sabotaged the season
to
get rid of Mike McCarthy.
I do remember that now. I remember that.
I feel that played a little bit into how he played this year. Because he purposefully had a game plan and a motivation to not play at peak level, led the league in throwaways, was holding the ball too long, not going off of the original play design.
Okay.
And he did that for an entire season.
Yes.
Then he came into this season with a new head coach, learned a new offense for the first time in his career since he was a rookie. And I think that Not mentality. I think that his mentality has changed.
Okay.
And he's very much all in with this team.
I get that.
But I think some of the tendencies on the field are still there. He's still holding the ball too long.
Okay.
Which was very evident in the Niners game.
Okay.
You still see that on the field. You saw a lot of overthrows against the Lions.
Okay.
He's missing open receivers more than he has ever missed open receivers before.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, we're used to seeing perfection 24/7 out of this guy.
Yes.
This is the first season, in my opinion, that his ability level was affected because of his age.
Okay. Okay. See, all right.
So,
all right, Chris. You're being honest. I appreciate that.
Now, that being said, I truly believe, Marcus, that he can go back to perfection.
At any second.
And I just – he's just letting everybody talk about how the Packer team is not a good – they're not a real 13-3 team. They're not worthy of the 2 seed.
Yeah.
I think that this team is the best team that he's had as far as a roster goes. I think they're a better roster than the Super Bowl team.
Yeah, I agree with that. But so, he's not as good as
he doesn't. He doesn't have to be.
The Super Bowl team was basically Aaron Rodgers lights out.
You're not wrong. In the Super Bowl, he had Jordy dropped like 3 passes. Donald Driver wasn't playing well. Greg Jennings barely like showed up. Like Aaron Rodgers, some of the throws that he makes, when you look back, they do that NFL recap and they break down the game. Like the balls that he was throwing, those were absolutely incredible.
That Falcons game might be the best quarterback game I've ever seen.
That whole like that was a 6 seed.
That Falcons game.
That was a 6 seed.
I know, man. I never forget that Falcons game. I remember watching it on TV, just thinking, like, is he gonna throw an incomplete pass?
I remember that entire ride through that playoffs game. I think my face was in my shirt more than anything else, just because I was on pins and needles every single play.
Yeah,
that defense was a bend don't break defense.
Uh-huh.
And God, were they bending every single game. So
man.
That roster compared to this roster, and I'll wait to get into the preview for this divisional round game. Uh-huh. After what happened in the wild card weekend. How did all 4 of those games look to you, Marcus? Pretty ugly, right?
Yeah.
So the Packers have played ugly and won the last 5 weeks. And I don't see that changing in the playoffs. I think you're going to see an ugly playoff where the under happens every single game.
That is true. And that's a good segue into the wild card round, cuz I'm going to look at this kind of a different way. Besides really the Ravens. Like I feel like all these NFL teams are kind of equal. We're kind of at an equal point. Like there's really no really, especially in the NFC. The NFC, like that's wide open. I don't know.
Oh my God! Yeah.
All 4 of those teams.
Parity.
I don't know. Who knows the NFC? Like I mean, I really feel like the Seahawks are the weakest, but Russell Wilson is still playing his best football that he's playing. So that makes a big difference. But just look at this wild card round. I mean, we can start with the Minnesota versus.
You want to start with that one?
Yeah,
huh?
We start with Minnesota versus Saints. I felt like both quarterbacks didn't play that well that game.
So when we talk about just like things that get spewed out and rhetoric and things that people say all the time, what do they say about championship football teams? What do they do well?
Run the football.
And?
Play defense.
That's what we saw all weekend. We saw defense and running backs.
Yeah.
It was not about the quarterbacks. In wild card weekend.
But the quarterback play was not good this weekend. But we can.
I will completely agree with you that.
We'll get into that individually.
I completely agree with you that.
I think 2 quarterbacks played well this weekend. I think it was Russell played well. And I think Deshaun Watson played well in the second half. He played well in a half.
He had a quarter. He had a quarter.
No, it started late the third.
He got that. He had that MJ I saw on Twitter. Football Twitter was going nuts, bringing up all those Dabo quotes about him being Michael Jordan.
That's what I'm saying. But he played he just those 2 quarterbacks. I feel like they played well. But start with the Saints and New Orleans. Kirk Cousins fixed his life.
Oh, no. Don't.
He made the throw of his career.
I will agree with that statement. He made the throw of his career.
In a big moment.
In a very big moment.
In a big moment. We all say he could never make the throw in a big moment. He did it.
He did do it. But you know what? He should never have been allowed to. Sean Payton mismanaged that game.
He did mismanage that game.
That game should have been over.
He really did mismanage that game.
There should never have been an option just to tie the game at the end there. You have a timeout left. Yeah, it's bad on Kamara for moving at the last second. Now you got a penalty. You use your timeout. They were not only in field goal range, they were in striking distance of the end zone.
Yeah.
You should have had 21 seconds and three shots at the end zone.
Yes.
Instead, you ran one play, which was a screen that got blown up immediately.
Yeah.
And then they kicked the field goal to send it to overtime. Why'd you keep the timeout? You didn't even use it. What a completely mismanaged opportunity there. And to be honest, that game should have ended on a touchdown on that drive for the Saints.
Yeah, well, they mismanaged it. Sorry, I said mismanagement. They mismanaged it. And guess what? Kirk got to make the throw of his life.
Chance, yeah.
He made the throw of his life.
Yeah, and Drew Brees didn't get to see the field. And the New Orleans Saints took a very nasty statistic away from the Green Bay Packers.
What is that?
It was their last three straight appearances in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Their best player didn't get a chance to finish the game. They lost all three playoff games in the last 3 years on the last play.
That is true.
And well, they took that from that was a statistic the Packers owned from 2013 to 2015.
See my thoughts in this game. I thought Drew Brees didn't play that well, and I thought that, you know, Mike Zimmer is smart and that dink and dunk stuff is not going to work against him because they tackle well. They play pretty good defense. They caught him sleeping a couple times with Taysom Hill.
Was it poor play by the offensive line, or were they injured on the offensive line? They're injured. No,
they got their butts whipped. They were getting injured during the game, but it's more they were getting their butts whipped too.
They got absolutely
because Mike Zimmer's smart and he was putting Everson Griffin inside against Andres Pete and he was working him with that spin move. So and that was given.
That's the next thing. That's the next thing right now. They're putting their premier pass rushers on the inside.
Yeah.
They're attacking the outside shoulders of the guards to get one-on-one matchups.
Yep.
You're seeing that with the Vikings. You're seeing that with the Packers. You're seeing that with the Niners.
Yeah.
That was something that San Diego. That's something that the Chargers did, the L.A. Chargers did against the Packers. They moved their Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
They put Ingram in
the inside. They put him on the inside. This is the next step in the evolution of defenses.
I agree.
You're going to see the premier pass rushers moving inside, and then you bring like a rookie to rush on the outside, and you pair them next, and they get one-on-one matchups instead of the double teams.
Yeah, and it worked. It had Brees under pressure all game. He's frustrated. Fumbled late. That fumble was huge.
So I got a question for you, Marcus.
Yes.
That fumble, what do you think caused it? I'll give you some options.
Okay, give me some options.
Was it a great play by the defender just knocking the ball out? Mm-hmm. A. Was it two? Was it thumb strength? Does he not have thumb strength like he did before? Because that's his throwing hand. That's the hand that he was out.
Okay.
That he missed time with.
Okay.
Or was it three or C? Was there something on the tape? Was there sweat on it? Did he not have any grip because of the tape on his thumb?
So you're blaming the thumb for the fumble?
Oh, 100%. But is it the thumb strength or is it the taping on the thumb?
I think he just held the ball too long and he tried to make a play and when he's old and he can't run and he got caught from behind.
I'm not going to disagree with you. He got caught from behind, but I don't think he fumbles that.
I don't know.
I think the tape on the thumb or he's the lack of thumb strength is the main reason that ball came out.
I don't know about that, Chris.
He didn't tuck it.
Yeah.
He kept the ball out there.
I feel like he just held the ball too long. I feel like in that situation.
You think a healthy Drew Brees fumbles that as well?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Because to be honest, man, Drew Brees is the lowest in the league in intended air yards. So they haven't been passing downfield all year. So there
doesn't matter.
Yes, it does, Chris.
Why does it matter?
So basically what happened this whole game, I'm telling you what happened this whole game, is that you play the short stuff. That's all the Vikings did. It was like, okay, we're going to sit back. You're not going to be able to throw deep. You can't throw deep anyways. You try to throw deep over our heads one time. We picked it off. So you aren't going to throw deep anymore. We're just going to sit here. We're going to come up and tackle. You can't run the ball anymore really that well because Kamara.
You couldn't run the ball in the first way. Oh, you're talking about the running backs.
Yeah, because Kamara is not.
He's hurt.
He's hurt. He's still playing through it. It frustrates me. I don't know why NFL players do that.
I'll tell you why.
I'm so mad about it.
I'll tell you exactly why he did it.
Just sit out.
There's one reason.
What?
It's contract year, Marcus. The man's a free agent next year.
But still, like, somebody's still going
to
sign him.
He's trying to get paid.
Somebody's going to sign out.
It's a running back.
Somebody's going to sign him. I don't care.
You just saw Melvin Gordon hold out, and he didn't get paid.
I don't care. Somebody's going to pay Alvin Kamara, dog. Somebody paid Le'Veon Bell. He sat out a whole year.
That's different. It's Le'Veon Bell.
Alvin Kamara is just as many. He has a lot of touchdowns.
He doesn't have the kind of statistics that Le'Veon Bell does.
Not the yards, but the touchdowns he does have.
Okay, well, you know what? They're looking to get touchdowns from another player on the roster.
I'm just saying, it just frustrates me because I was watching Saquon. He ruined my fantasy all year.
Yeah,
because,
mine too.
And then he got healthy week 15, and guess what happened? He had like 500 yards in 2 weeks and like 10 touchdowns. I swear the guy scored like 10 touchdowns in 5 weeks, in 3 weeks, bro. So frustrating. But, you know, because he was hurt all year.
Yeah.
The same with Alvin Kamara, he's hurt. Yeah. So he keeps trying to play through it, and he's not doing anything with it. He's not making any headway with it, right? So you just look bad, and you're like, oh, you have a bad year. And so now he's definitely, they're going to be like, well, you didn't play well this year.
Yep. And he's not going to see any of the money that he should.
So and he might have saw that money if he just sat out. But
you might not be wrong. You might not be wrong, Marcus.
I know, man, but it's just frustrating. But, you know, Minnesota came through with the W.
Shocked the world.
Shocked the world.
Did you see all the pregame?
It wasn't that shocking.
All the pregames where they do everybody picks who they're going to win? Every single analyst picks the Saints.
That's because of Kirk Cousins, though. Nobody believes in Kirk Cousins.
Nope.
And nobody thought Kirk can do it.
Nope.
And he really didn't play that well, let's be honest.
No, he didn't.
He played okay.
He had two good throws, and they just happened to be his
last two throws of the game. Throw that he had to make, right? He made the throw that he needed to make when he needed to make it. And I guess that's all that matters in playoffs. Like, playoffs, you got to – I mean, stats matter, but, you know.
You like that?
Yeah, he made the throw he needed to make. And, I mean, he played better than Breeze, which is kind of crazy. But, you know. But let's talk about quarterbacks who made the throw they needed to make. This is a good segue into the New England versus Tennessee game.
You know what throw I was the most impressed with in that game?
What throw was that?
The Titans' first drive.
Yeah.
Do you know which throw I'm talking about?
Which one?
The touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Standing in the pocket, and he threw a dime right into the middle of the field for a touchdown. That was impressive.
He had two good throws all game. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill right here, guys. Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, they beat the
New England
Patriots 14-13.
Their first time playing wild card weekend in a decade.
And they lost, just like the last time they played a wild card weekend. Usually the Patriots play a wild card weekend. They're not that good. Let's just be honest. That's not a good Patriots team. Tom Brady with 10 wins is not a good Patriots team.
I can't even handle you saying that out loud.
I'm just saying, like, let's be real. Like, a Patriots team that plays on wild card weekend is not a good team. Right?
That just hurts my soul to hear that out loud. Like, this, it's impressive to be one of the 8 teams that makes the one of the 12 teams that makes the playoff. It changes every year.
Yeah.
Every single year. But there's been one constant.
That's Patriots.
Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. What an incredible run.
It was an incredible run by the Patriots, but then they ran into Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill and Dean Pease. They ran into Dean Pease. I think Dean Pease was the Ravens coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. Maybe that's something to do with it. And they beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Yes, they did. In New England.
Yeah, it was Dean Pease.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? So, New England couldn't do anything. Tom Brady, you know, he had nobody open. That drop from Edelman was huge.
Huge.
That was a massive drop.
That was killer. Like, that's like his guy, too. Like, but that's not the first time this season that Edelman's let him down like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, and our boy N'Keal Harry, man, he needs to work on his being pressed in the offseason. He needs to go with a trainer.
Well, he's a rookie, man.
I get it, but he needs to get a trainer.
He didn't play until the back half. He played a quarter of the season.
Chris, I don't care. He needs to get a trainer.
He's got a lot of work to do.
He's
got to
work in that press.
I think he's going to be
all summer.
Like, I think he's going to be great in year three, though.
He's got to press. That's all he should think about. He shouldn't practice anything else. Just beat and press. Because that's what they're going to do to him until he can beat it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because he still showed his good hands. He didn't drop any passes or anything like that. I guess he had a drop in that game, but that was more that he was trying to run. It was a concentration drop. But he still showed good hands and stuff, but he just couldn't separate. He just can't beat press right now. And it's hard for a lot of guys that are coming out because I've been watching the wide receivers for the draft, and half of these guys don't face press ever. So, you know.
Everybody's afraid of them and their speed.
Not even that. Like, if you watch a Big 12 receiver, he ain't playing against press. When is he playing against press? They play quarters all the time.
Yeah.
He ain't playing against press. So it's a tough transition, and it made it tough on Brady. Brady had nobody to throw to. Nobody was open. Had to hold the ball. His line's not as good. And they were, like, daring them to pass the ball, and they couldn't pass the ball.
You're not wrong.
Which is kind of scary for the Patriots' outlook for the future, because just think about it. Tom Brady leaves. They can't get rid of Tom. We're going to get into that later, but that's not going to be a good team. I don't think
let's stay away from the old man right now.
I know, but that's not going to be a good team, you know? But let's talk a little about Tannehill. Tannehill was 8 for 15 for 72 yards.
He was up and down. He was very up and down.
He was awful, Chris.
He was very up and down.
Chris, he was awful.
I did not like the way that he played he ended that game. I did not like it.
Let's not put it any other way. I know he won. I know he made a couple throws, but he was awful. That game, the way that Derrick Henry was running the ball, if he played halfway decent, that's a three touchdown win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at the point,
Marcus, yeah. Henry went off.
See,
went off, and they still only scored 14 points.
Because I got a point for you. Bill Belichick, he always has this thing with dominant running backs with the weak quarterback that I'm going to let the running back get his. That's basically what he did. And we're like, we're not going to buy any of your play actions. You're going to have to beat us with your straight dropbacks, Ryan Tannehill. And it was 14-13. And if the Patriots offense did anything,
they would have gotten in field goal range.
They would have got a win.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter. He had 20 yards. He didn't score 14 points, dog. They didn't do anything.
No,
so it was a good game plan for by Belichick. It worked.
Yeah.
His offense just didn't show up. But I wonder how Tannehill and them could look against the Ravens. I'm wondering about that. But
have you seen the stats of the Titans versus the Ravens?
No.
I think it was either in the last 8 games or the last 10 games that they've played against each other.
Yeah.
It's alternated. Tennessee, Baltimore, Tennessee, Baltimore. Nobody's taken this series. They're split. They're down the middle in the series.
Oh no.
But so here I'm gonna this game, the only way that Tennessee wins this game is it has to go down the road that the Chiefs-Titans game went down this season.
Yeah.
In the regular season. That's the only way that you'll see the Titans win this game. I don't believe Tennessee has a shot.
I don't think so either, but we'll see.
But we also felt that way when we made our picks that showed up on Instagram and on Facebook. You and I both went after the Saints. You and I both chose New England.
Yeah.
You chose Buffalo.
Yes, I did.
Thank you for that. I chose Houston. And I took Philly.
I took Seattle.
And you took Seattle. So we, in our predictions.
We split.
For the wild card, we split. But Marcus, we got one game right. We got one game right. So we're sitting here going, we think the Ravens are a lock. You know, we didn't do too good picking everything last week.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the playoffs. But my Buffalo pick was almost there. Let's go into the Buffalo game.
Let's go to
the Buffalo game. My Buffalo game was almost there.
You know why it wasn't there?
Why wasn't it there?
Josh Allen.
Yes, Josh. Up and down Josh. You know, he's a roller coaster of emotions. Let's say that. Jeez, he was like
That opening drive was it.
Yeah, he had a great but
Hold on. I would love to talk about that opening drive.
What did they do, Chris, on opening drive?
They ran the ball the entire time, and they had one pass, Marcus. And guess what? Josh Allen didn't even throw the ball.
I thought Josh Allen played good in that game for two and a half quarters.
Now,
not a full three.
Now, hold on.
Two and a half.
Now, hold on. When you say you thought he played well,
yeah,
are you saying he played to your expectation level of what he can do? He didn't blow you away? He just played to your expectation level of what he is?
I thought at the beginning of the game he played well. A couple of those first couple drives.
You can't use the beginning of the game, Marcus. He didn't throw the beginning of the game.
Two and a half quarters. There's a couple throws, like the throw to John Brown. John Brown should have got his feet down. On the corner route. He should have got his feet down. Then he threw a perfect ball to Duke Williams. But he can't catch,
no,
so he tried to catch the ball.
He tried to cradle it. Yeah,
when he should have did the diamond.
Yeah, like diamond hands. Diamond hands.
He had two chances to put that game away. If those guys put their feet down, we're talking about a totally different game. They're up like 24-0 or 28-0.
That's possible. But I'll tell you what. I think because of how close it was.
Yeah.
That's kind of played into why Watson didn't turn it on till the end. So
you're saying he would have turned it on earlier?
I think so. I don't think they felt the pressure offensively. They felt it until late.
Until they were down 16-0.
Because what did you see out of Deshaun? Well, I'm curious if you're on the same page as I am when it comes to Deshaun Watson. I know that we're trying to talk about Josh Allen, but I'm curious about
– No, it's fine.
You know that Buffalo's in a lot of trouble if they're going to rely on Josh Allen going forward.
I know that's how you feel.
That's exactly how I feel. But for Deshaun Watson, that entire first half,
yeah,
he was gun shy.
He was.
He would not pull the trigger.
He wouldn't.
He kept rolling to his left. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
What is he doing?
I don't know what he's doing the whole first half.
I was in complete.
You see, I even tweeted playoff Watson ? And I ended up regretting that. I had a point. I mean, he was like missing open guys at that point.
He wasn't even throwing the ball. He was just standing back there. He had his eyes down, I think. I think he was so terrified of the pass rush that his first look was, where are these guys? How can I get out of the way? Okay, now that I've cleared them, do I have anybody downfield? But I don't even think he was looking downfield. I think he was looking for a check down immediately. I don't know where he was. He kept bailing the pocket.
I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea what he was doing, man. No idea. But it didn't matter because
he showed up.
He turned it on.
He showed up at the end. All of a sudden, he's throwing the ball to Hopkins, which he didn't do for three quarters.
I don't know what's up with that guy, man, but it's just hilarious to me. Like, it just big game, fourth quarter, he just turns it on. Like, it's just, and that's him. That's his will. That is basically his DNA. Like, he could play bad for three quarters. If the game's still close, he's gonna turn it on.
Yeah.
He's gonna start running all over you.
Yeah.
He's gonna start throwing his body over everywhere. Gonna take the hits. He's gonna just do whatever it takes to win at that point, right? He's gonna make the throws.
Uh-huh.
I mean, against the goddamn Raiders, he threw a touchdown blind. I still can't forget that.
I know, kicked in the eye.
Kicked in the eye. He threw a damn touchdown blind.
Yeah,
you know. So it wasn't shocking that he played that way. He's just that he started throwing dimes. He started throwing dimes downfield. Everything's perfectly thrown.
It was like
everything
a switch.
Perfectly right in people's chest.
It was
chests.
Like a switch, man. He just flipped the light on, man. It was a completely different guy.
He was missing people earlier, throwing balls in the ground.
Wouldn't even throw it.
Then all of a sudden, he's just decisive. And then the last play he made where he broke two tackles in the pocket and then rolled down and hit the check down.
No. He didn't break two tackles. This is where I'm going to have a problem.
Okay.
All right?
I want to hear this one.
He was in the process of being sacked.
Okay.
That guy came off his left, came off the edge, and put a hit on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened?
What happened?
He just so happened in circumstance to bounce off the guy that was coming on his right. His momentum was he's going down. He's hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That guy, the second guy that hit him, popped him straight back up. And I swear to God, if you slow it down and you just kind of watch his face, he's like, I'm still on my feet. Oh, I gotta go. Like, how did I stay upright? I bet you he went back to that sideline. It was like, I don't know how the hell I stayed on my feet. Those guys just bounced me around like I was a pinball. And the next thing I know, I was in the right place at the right time.
No, he says he told himself, I'm not going down.
Okay.
He's like, I'm not going down.
Watch that play. He was going down, and that other guy that hit him.
I still don't know how they didn't tackle him. I'm like, just break down.
I'm telling you. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Break down.
Welcome to defense in the NFL, where you're just in it to hit somebody.
You're trying to kill him.
You're just trying to hit somebody as hard as you can.
First of all, I would never try to kill Deshaun Watson unless he's not looking at me. Because if I can feel that he can feel me at all, I'm just going to tackle him. Because if I try to go in there like they did, they try to, like, end the game with a fumble or something. They try to, like, go full speed at him, and they just bounced off him. Because, yeah, he's Deshaun Watson. He's not the easiest. He looks slim.
Pinball. He pinballed.
He's not the easiest guy to tackle in the pocket.
No.
So
I'll agree.
You got to kind of wrap him up, you know, don't let go. Let the whistle blow, you know.
Yep. No, he pinballed off of one guy into the other.
You want to come in there and try to knock him out, maybe not cause a fumble, then boop, boop. And then he spins out. And then he spins out. And then he throws it.
Yeah, like,
just break
that
down and tackle
play.
Him.
Don't get me wrong. Like, that was incredible what he did.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. That's dumb luck. To remain on your feet in that scenario, there's some dumb luck situations that happen in the NFL. And I'm sorry, he got hit. That first guy drilled him, and he was going down. His momentum was going to the ground, and he bounced off the other guy, and that other guy popped him straight back up.
See, I feel like in the first quarter, he goes down. But since it was overtime in the fourth quarter, he was like, I'm not going down. He's not going down.
No, I can't agree with you there. That was in my you're gonna get dumb luck out of me for that one.
Chris,
now what he did
was
after
not going down.
What he did after that
he
that
wasn't
was
going down. It was the moment. It was the moment. The moment was too big. It was too big for him, dog.
Whatever,
he was like,
Marcus.
I'm gonna make this play. I'm telling you.
Well, you're right. He was doing everything he could to make that play. He just so happened to get knocked back up so that he had the opportunity to do so.
Man. He just makes magic, bro. I don't know what it is.
It was great.
We talked about this 2 years ago. We were covering him, you know, breaking down quarterback stuff. It's like, I used to watch him on tape in, like, the Georgia Tech game. I was like, God, you're playing horrible. And the fourth quarter start, it was like, you're the best quarterback I've ever seen. And I used to be so mad evaluating him. I was like, what do I do with you?
Consistency,
like,
was our main factor for not grading him as high as
accurate?
We thought.
I don't know. You are accurate, but you aren't for three quarters. Like, what are you doing? he did it in the national championship games. The second Alabama game?
The second one was the one they won.
And he played terrible for like two and a half quarters for that game. Mm-hmm. He almost threw like five picks.
Yep.
And then click. And then it just turned on.
And then it's on.
It's frustrating. I don't know. But, yeah, so last game of the weekend, Chris, was Philly versus Seattle, which was kind of it was kind of the boring game. That was kind of game I was, like, watching the background while I was watching Senior Bowl wide receivers.
You know what it was, Marcus? I got a word for you.
Okay.
I'm going to sum it up in one word.
What is that?
Typical.
Typical. Why do you say that?
Seattle got it to break their way again.
Oh, God.
Carson Wentz knocked out right away. They had to play against a 40-year-old quarterback.
Do you think he would have made that big of a difference?
Are you kidding?
I don't think he would have made that big of a difference.
Are you kidding, Marcus?
I don't. I don't think he would have made that big of a difference.
You don't think he would have been a bigger difference maker than
a
40-year-old quarterback?
I think they would have been a little bit more aggressive, but...
That made his season debut in the playoffs.
They would have been a little bit more aggressive, but I'm not the highest Carson Wentz guy. I got to admit that. I'm not the highest Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz gets a lot of love because he's the second pick in the draft. That's why people love Carson Wentz. There's really no other reason. There's really no other reason.
Marcus.
They made up this where he had 500 yards. He's the only person to never have a receiver under 500 yards to throw 4,000. I'm like, well, he threw the ball 600 times.
Yeah, you've been waiting to bring that stat up.
600
throws
equals 4,000 yards. His YPA is like 6.6. He's throwing a little. Chris. Any quarterback in the NFL throws the ball 600 times, they're throwing 4,000. That's it's just I don't want to hear that.
I'm not going to argue.
I don't want to hear it. I just think that the expectations of Carson are just too high. I don't think it would have made a difference because, first of all, that was like in the second quarter, right? That was the second quarter, wasn't it?
I think that was still – it might have been the beginning of the second quarter, I mean, at the end of the first. But he went out early.
Yeah, but it was – I think
he
it was
went
like,
out early.
I think it was early second quarter, right? Like their first drive of the second quarter. It was the third drive.
I think you're right.
Third drive. So first drive of the second quarter. He goes out. Did they do anything before that?
Listen, in these kind of playoff games, it's knock them down, drag them out.
Chris, did they look at like any type of offense that you were like, okay, this game is
Mark, it's not a single not a single team looked that way.
But that's what
but it's a different
whole
it's a different
the
game.
None
man.
Of quarterbacks really
it's
play well.
It's a different game.
Because Russell Wilson, he played well, but
it's a complete he did not play well. He just threw jump balls to DK Metcalf. Their cornerbacks are like 5'5", and they're like their third string corners.
Compared to the other quarterbacks, he played the best because no quarterback played well this weekend. He played the best. He was the most consistent throughout the day, throughout the game. Because he was. He was the most consistent throughout the game. No, so that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying because Kirk Cousins wasn't consistent throughout the game.
The crowd doesn't like Marcus.
Drew Brees isn't like. Drew Brees wasn't consistent throughout the game. Deshaun Watson didn't turn on.
I don't know. I think.
Here we go. Here we go. We already talked about Drew Brees and his fumbles. And his fumble. But I think Russell was the most consistent this weekend, even though no quarterback played really that well. But I don't think Carson Wentz would have made a difference.
You know who I thought played well for his situation?
Who?
McCown.
Yeah.
For what he got thrown into,
yeah.
he played a lot. He kept him in the game. Mm-hmm. He played a lot better than I think anybody expected. But I'm sorry, Marcus. It happened again for Seattle like it always does. Something fluky that gave him the game.
But I just don't think that's a for sure thing.
I'm sorry. An entire three-fourths of the game without your starting quarterback is going to matter.
Yeah, it matters. It matters. I get it. It was luck for them.
Always.
I don't think the Seattle team's good at all. We've been talking about that for weeks. We don't think they're good. We think they're Russell Wilson or bust. So if you stop Russell, it's basically bust. And they can't run the ball right now.
Well,
I think
you're putting this in the right spot. I think it's time to preview.
Are we going right in this Seahawks package?
Well, you're talking.
You get to play your nemesis, Chris.
This is like
you get to play your nemesis. I was thinking about this. Oh my God, you must be. This is your nemesis.
I'm going to stick to facts right now.
Okay.
Because if I start running my mouth, karma's going to come back and bite me.
This is
hard.
Your nemesis. This is nemesis.
Bite
week.
Me hard. Here's what I was sitting there watching that game, and the Vikings had already beat the Saints.
Okay.
So we knew that the winner of this game was going to be the team that went to Lambeau.
Yes.
I'm sitting there going, who do I want to play? Do I want to play a banged-up offense that Philadelphia is, or do I want to play against a statistically awful Seahawks team? And you know what? I would rather play the statistically awful Seahawks team. Two reasons. One, the number one reason for me.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles defense, do you know what they were ranked for run defense this year?
Probably in the top five.
In the top five. Four. Course, like I think they were four. Yeah, they might have been three.
They got Fletcher Cox. They're always up there.
They might have been three. Fletcher Cox ate that offensive line up.
Oh, I mean.
Completely destroyed the Seahawks offensive line by himself, single-handed.
So what you're saying is Kenny Clark's going to do the same thing?
What I'm thinking is not only is Kenny Clark going to do that. Za'Darius Smith got snubbed for the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro team.
He's doing squats on
his
sweater.
He led the league in pressures.
Yes.
And it wasn't even close.
Yeah, 93, I know.
The Smith brothers are going to torch that offensive line on the outside.
I think so, too.
Absolutely torch them.
See, but they can't rush too fast, though. They can't let Russell out of the pocket.
Here's what it is. They only send four. I found this guy put an article out on Twitter. He broke down every playoff team and their tendencies for the back half of the season.
Yeah.
And I dove into what he found about the Packers.
Yes.
The Packers, their primary defense, if you had to guess what formation they lined up in 73% of the time this season.
The Packers?
Yes. What defensive formation do you think they lined up in? Their base defense, their nickel defense, the dime defense, what do you think they'd lined up the most in?
I would say nickel.
Dime.
Dime, okay.
73% of this defense this season dime. In the back half was out of the dime formation.
Okay.
So they sent four.
Okay.
And dropped seven. And they played zone.
A lot, yeah.
This sets up perfectly to defend Russell Wilson. Because that front four is going to get to him.
See, I think this game has nothing to do with defense.
Really?
No. I think it's Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. Straight up. So whoever, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play as good as Russell Wilson, they lose. If Russell Wilson doesn't play as good as Aaron Rodgers, they lose. I don't think this game has anything to do with defense. I think straight up it is Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's where I want to disagree with you.
Okay.
I think the defense will play a massive factor in this game for the Packers. Because it will be up to them to...
Your defense, the Packers' defense is opportunistic, though.
Incredibly.
Okay? Right?
Incredibly opportunistic.
So you can move the ball on them.
Yes. From 20 to 20, I completely agree with you.
Okay, but you got a good red zone quarterback. That's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't matter. Like, you can think of all these game plan things, and I think you think of all these things,
so
but
if Russell
comes to play, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm telling you. And if Aaron Rodgers comes to play, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm staying on the defense for the Packers
right now. Okay,
okay. So you're right. They're very opportunistic. You can move the ball on them because they've allowed teams to run. And their focus is what it seems like has been inside the red zone. They lead the league in turnovers in the red zone.
Okay.
They are a better run defense than Seattle. They're clearly the better pass defending defense. I think they match up better than Philly does at the cornerback position.
They do.
I see Alexander matching up with Lockett and locking him down, to be honest. And I see Kevin King, who has the size to go up against Metcalf.
He's not fast enough, though.
That's why they'll have Savage over the top.
They got to put Alexander on Metcalf.
No. I want to see Savage over the top of Metcalf with King bodying him up.
It's not going to happen.
That's what I want to see. I think
he's too fast for King. King's too slow, Chris.
That's why you got Savage coming over the top. Savage is a sideline to sideline player. He's got that comp.
You have to put Alexander on because Alexander is just as good in press, and he's just as fast. He can hang. He's just as fast as Metcalf, so Metcalf's not gonna be able to just run past him.
I don't like Lockett on the other side.
I really feel like Kevin King might miss once, and then Savage won't get him a third time. I think that's dangerous. I just think that game plan is a little dangerous that you have right there.
Well, so to counteract that, here's the counteracting to that.
Okay.
The reason why I wanted to play Seattle and not Philly, like I said, was the run defense.
Yes.
Seattle's run defense was ranked 22 in the league.
Okay.
Aaron Jones.
They're not a good defense at all.
They're not a good defense at all. Aaron Jones and the defense are going to have monster games. Those two reasons are why the Packers win. I don't think Aaron Rodgers just needs to make sure that he doesn't turn the ball over like he did the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Got to control the football and survive whatever lucky situation happens for Seattle. Another reason why I feel good, when Seattle comes to Lambeau, they lose. They've lost the last 8 times they've come to Lambeau.
Yeah, I would think the Packers win this game too because I don't think Seattle's good. So, and I think the Packers are a good football team, not a great football team, but they're good. And I don't think anybody in the NFC is really great. So I do think that the Packers are going to win this game. It's pretty simple to me. I don't see anything crazy with that one. All right, so let's move through this. We're already at 45 minutes. Let's move through these pretty quickly.
You want to go to San Fran and Minnesota?
San Fran and Minnesota. I think that's going to be a blowout.
You think it's a blowout?
Yeah. Stomping.
I see.
Stomp, stomp, stomp.
No, see, Marcus, it's going to play out the same way as the Saints game did.
Because
these teams want to run the football. It's going to be an under. The under's going to hit.
Chris.
The under's going to hit.
Chris.
Listen, I got people chirping about Kirk Cousins. I have dog Kirk Cousins the entire season. Don't get me wrong. I know that San Francisco is going to win this game. I know that. I just think it's going to be closer than you all believe. Now, I'm going to pick Minnesota because everybody's counting them out.
You're picking Minnesota.
Just like last week, how everybody Saints
Chris.
To win. I'm going against the grain and I'm picking Minnesota.
You're picking Minnesota?
Two reasons. One, because everybody and their mother is going to pick San Francisco.
Okay.
And when everybody has a consensus that one team's supposed to win, that team doesn't win.
Okay.
The other reason I'm picking Minnesota, because the Packers are going to win, and I want that NFC Championship game in Lambeau. That's why. That's probably more why than the other reason. So I'm picking Minnesota as a biased Green Bay Packer fan. That's why I'm doing it. I don't want to play San Francisco. That's why I'm picking Minnesota.
Oh, okay. It makes more sense because
it was those two reasons. That's it. There's no statistic behind it that says it.
Like 34-10.
I'll take that.
We're gonna go back.
The under.
And everybody's gonna be on Kirk Cousins. You couldn't win the big one, and then everything's gonna turn all the way back around. Once he goes 16 for 32 for 100 yards
and two interceptions
and 4.2 YPA. You like that?
That's
gonna happen this weekend.
I'm perfectly fine if that happens because I've been dogging Cousins all season long because he can't win the big game. Here's the big game. This is it.
I just think they caught a Saints team that was a little overrated.
Overconfident.
Overrated, too. That's what I was talking about. Like, a lot of these NFC teams, I feel like the AFC was so bad, so that they just beat up on AFC teams. So they just swept through AFC, right? A lot of these teams, they just went through the AFC.
The
Saints beat the Texans. They beat the Jags. They beat the Colts. They beat the Titans, you know, so that's four wins. And then you play some of these weaker – they play the NFC South. They play the Panthers twice. They play the Falcons twice. They lost one of those games.
Yep.
You know, and then they put the Bucks twice. You know, their schedule wasn't that crazy for them to go 13-3. Yeah, six games.
We're going to dog the Packers about being 13-3.
So basically, I just gave their nine wins. They played a bunch of bad teams. They had nine wins right there. They just had to win four more. They weren't that good. That's why I talk about the NFC, man. I don't know. It's a little weird out there. I don't know, bro.
I'm not mad about it, but I think that what you're saying is true. I'm just gonna stick with my bias because I really want to see that NFC Championship game in Lambeau, man.
All right, okay, all right, Chris. All right. So let's go to the Chiefs versus
the Titans.
The Texans. When they play Texans.
Oh, I'm sorry. Texans. Yes.
Chiefs versus Texans. Texans beat the Chiefs earlier in the season.
In Arrowhead.
But they didn't have Tariq Hill.
They did not. You know what, Marcus?
I think this is another blowout.
So here's why. I'm going to give you one reason why.
Okay.
I agree with you. I'm going Kansas City.
Okay.
It's going to be ugly.
You think it's going to be ugly, too?
It's going to be cold.
I think both AFC games are
going to be
ugly.
It's going to be wet. It might snow. I think only J.J. Watt knows how to play in that for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Deshaun is going to struggle in the cold. They don't have a running game.
And you can't pass up on the Chiefs.
No, you have to run on them. Yeah, you can run on the Chiefs.
But as soon as you get the third down, they just let Matthew do whatever the hell he wants.
Uh-huh. Yep.
When I watched him play the Raiders, I was like, what coverage? Like, are you playing a coverage? I know these guys are playing coverage, but you're just like roaming.
I think
you're like following Darren Waller wherever he goes.
I think you could see Kansas City go up three scores in the first quarter.
You think it's going to be like that?
Real fast.
Because Texas defense is terrible, too. They have a terrible defense.
I could see it happening real fast.
Tyreek Hill's getting his feet down.
I think, absolutely he is. And
so
I think Patrick Mahomes is he's due for a big game.
Yeah.
I think this is the most healthy that he's been all season, too.
He's on fire right now. I think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. That's just
You know what, Marcus? I'm going to jump ahead right here. and give you my prediction in the other game. I cannot wait to watch Patrick Mahomes play Lamar Jackson.
In the AFC, that's going to be awesome.
I am so excited, Marcus. I really hope that this is the new Brady Manning.
Because I swear, if the Titans end up going there and they beat the goddamn Ravens, I'll be mad. Because Ryan Tannehill's going to get so much money.
And then I'll be so mad, too. He's going to get, like, he's going to get 30. If he goes into Baltimore and wins, he's getting 30. He's going to make that Nick Foles contract look like nothing.
And so I think with Ryan Tannehill, that I think it's funny that he still led the league in sack percentage, Chris. Because you know what he was talking about? He holds the ball too much?
Yeah.
He still led the league in sacks percentage.
And he's got a good offensive line, too. He's got one of the best left tackles in the game.
He has a great left guard. He still led the league in sack percentage. So, sure, is he having a career year? Yeah, but we go into next year.
Maybe and everybody's expecting it. You know, it could be circumstance where they're just like, bro, it's Ryan Tannehill. He was a Dolphins quarterback. He got. Now he's on his second team. I think everybody just looked down on him, snubbed their nose at him, and then when he balled out because not necessarily. Yeah, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a good quarterback. Yeah. But like, if you in the NFL and somebody's not giving 100% against you, you're going to take advantage of that. It's the NFL.
They're gonna fall in love with him, man. And that sack percentage is still there, bro. Like he's still the same guy. He's always had a strong arm. He's always been super accurate. He's always been there, but he's always held the ball too long, and he's just like a duck.
And he gets himself hurt.
It's like he fumbled against the Patriots. He got it himself.
He got lucky. He got lucky. He got that back.
But he fumbled. It's there. And the Ravens blitz 50% of the time. So that's what I'm interested. I'm interested to see what he does. He holds the ball, and he can't hold the ball this week because they blitz you every play. They don't care. They're like, we got Marcus Peters, we got Marlon Humphrey, we got Jimmy Smith back there, we got Earl Thomas, we got Tony Jefferson. Do something.
Yep. It's gonna be. This defense for the Ravens since they've been together. I think it's been 14 games together.
Yeah.
They're statistically the second best defense ever, only behind Legion
man.
Of Boom year.
That's why I think we're going to see the real Ryan Tannehill, because he's not going to be able to hold the ball and do his little hold the ball.
He's going to be in trouble.
He's in trouble.
He's only going to throw it 15 times, though, unless they get behind, which is very possible.
But the Ravens, you know what I could also see? The run, though, man.
You know what I could also see, though?
What?
All the key players for the Ravens offensively haven't played for 2 weeks. I could see some rust, and that first half is close. And then all of a sudden, they figure it out in the second half. I could see it being like the game they had against the Browns to end the season.
Yeah,
when they locked everything up, that last game that Lamar Jackson played in, I could see it being a rough start, and then they finished strong.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right, Marcus. Now that we're wrapping up here, and we're almost done. We're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it this way.
Okay.
Because I know that we had another segment planned.
Yes.
So I'm gonna do it this way to you. Marcus, I got 4 questions for you.
Okay, let's go.
And maybe this is the title of the episode. 4 questions.
4 questions.
Four
okay.
questions. First question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-parter.
Okay.
Part 1. Is Tom Brady done in New England? Has he played his last snap there and he plays somewhere else? Or is Tom Brady done?
Well, I know he's not done because he announced today that he's still playing. So I know he's not done.
Yeah.
I will say he's going to play for the Patriots again. Because I think, one, if the Patriots move on for him, they have no plan. They're going to suck. I don't care what anybody says. They don't have a plan.
No, yeah, that's not the Belichick way.
He has to bring him back because
he's got no choice.
He's going to start Jared Stidham?
No. Yeah, I agree with you. I said it just to say it because
he has no plan. I can see if he had like a succession plan, like if Jimmy G was still there.
Yeah.
If Jimmy G was still there or something, they can move on from him. But he has no plan. He is like, I'd have to suck for a year and try to get a decent pick,
yeah.
Or unless he like trades up.
Well,
trades
shoot, he might not be able to. The league might take some more picks from him because of the tape that tape incident.
And, you know, his picker's higher than ever's been, and maybe he can move up and try to get, like, two or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
They have to have some kind of plan.
Oh, my God, Marcus. I can't believe you just floated that.
So since they don't have a plan.
He's there.
He's there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Straight
on
that up. All right, don't have a plan for him.
Question number two.
Yes.
Staying on the old man.
Okay.
Questions. Drew Brees. The New Orleans Saints do not have a quarterback currently signed on their roster. Do they bring back Drew Brees?
I'm gonna throw a wrench. I'm gonna throw a crazy thing out here. Do you think it's crazy? I think they go with Taysom Hill.
You think Taysom?
I think they go with Taysom Hill.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
I think they go with Taysom Hill. That's just a bold prediction for me. I think they've been setting that up for years. And if you watched him in the preseason, he's played pretty damn well.
So
he's had a couple 300-yard games in the preseason.
I got something for you here. You ready for it?
Okay.
Taysom Hill. Do you know why this is the first year that people know about him?
Why?
Because he has a history of injuries.
Yes.
Do you know why Taysom Hill will not replace Drew Brees next year?
Why?
Because he's too valuable for multiple positions.
No, see, I think that...
Hold on. This is a roster decision. What you're saying right now is if they go with Taysom Hill, they're not just replacing Drew Brees. They're replacing a fullback. They're replacing a tight end. They're replacing a running back. They're replacing a wide receiver. They're replacing a special teams player. It won't just cost them the contract of Drew Brees.
I think they'll be okay with
it'll
that.
Cost them positional players that they're going to have to add to the roster to replace what he does in those other positions.
I think they'll be okay with that, Chris. That was my wrench. I think if Drew Brees decides to – he doesn't want to play because he's not going to play anywhere else. So if he decides he wasn't going to play, they're going with Taysom Hill or, of course, they'll go with Teddy Bridgewater, which I think Teddy runs that offense pretty good. He's still in New Orleans.
No, his contract's up too.
He's a free
agent. So him and Drew are free agents this year.
But I think Drew plays with him or he retires.
I agree.
He comes back or retires.
Yeah, Drew's not going anywhere.
So if he retires, I think they might go with Taysom. No, he's not.
Question was Tom Brady retiring?
No, he's not retiring.
Not retiring.
He's not. All right, so what's your last question?
Was that two?
It's
two. All right, number three.
Yes.
What happens to Phillip Rivers?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's
a good one.
I got a place for you.
What happens with Phillip Rivers?
Can I answer first?
Go ahead and
answer my own question.
Go ahead and answer your own question.
He's not a Charger anymore.
Okay, where's he playing?
Indy.
Oh.
He's going to step into Indy.
That's the same thing I was going to go with.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Frank Reich, him and Frank Reich.
Uh-huh.
I think that becomes a serious team.
Well, they're already, they're right there. They're right there. And I think they'll, where their position is in the draft.
Yeah.
They're in a spot where they can get one of the elite receivers coming out to pair opposite of T.Y. And then I love what they still do at tight end.
Uh-huh.
I think this is just going to set up better for Phillip Rivers so he doesn't force the football.
Yeah, Zach Pascal ain't that bad either at wideout. He ain't that bad. I mean, they try to say Jacoby Brissett was pretty below average all year. And, you know, people try to knock Colts fans try to knock the wide receiver corps, but Pascal was not that bad. I mean, I think with a better quarterback, Zach Pascal could be definitely a good number two, number three type of guy.
Yeah, I think Indy's a quarterback away.
They got good defensive talent. They got good coaching everywhere.
Yeah.
They get Phillip Rivers, man.
I think that's the move. I think that's the move for them.
That would be smart as hell. I agree with that, Chris. What's your last question?
Last question.
Okay.
What's Monday?
Monday is the national championship game.
Who you got?
LSU.
You're going with LSU?
Yeah.
I'm going Clemson.
You're going Clemson?
I think Dabo's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got that team with a chip on their shoulder.
I'm going with Joe. I just think Joe cannot be stopped.
I think that so.
Can't be stopped.
Statistically, LSU is one of the best offenses in college football this year.
Ever.
Yeah. Their statistics compared to.
Joe Burrow's having the best passing season ever in college football history.
Yep.
Based on competition because he's not playing at Hawaii.
Here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what the strength of the Clemson defense is?
Their secondary.
Did you know that they match LSU inefficiencies, what they're efficient at offensively versus what Clemson's efficient at
Chris,
defensively.
I'm just telling you, Burrow.
You know I love Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow cannot be denied. He's having the greatest pass season ever. Trevor Lawrence is Mr. Bird Dog. Does she have a question? No, she doesn't have a question. But Trevor Lawrence is Mr. Stare Down, and I don't think he's going to be able to stare down against his defense for the whole game. I don't think Christian Fulton is out there. You got Grant Delpit out there. You got Devin Singletary out there. I don't think he's going to be able to stare people down. He might have to go to another read, and if he does that, we don't know what happens.
I think this is the best defense.
That's my thing with Trevor.
This is the best defense.
He's never gone to a second read in his life. But but I'm just hating. I guess I'm hating, but, you know, he's clutch late with his little pop pass. Look how clutch he is with his pop pass. Like, God, why are we anointing this guy so early?
Because of last year,
Because
Marcus.
The way he looks.
Because of last year,
it's
Marcus.
It's all about the way he looks as a quarterback. His mechanics are perfect. Everything is perfect, but he play the position good? Stop looking at him. It's frustrating.
Ooh, I got Marcus with that
one.
It
is. It's just frustrating. Like, people annoy him just because the way he's so mechanically aesthetic. And it's just his arm motion is perfect. And the way the ball comes out. And it's such a great throw. And it looks awesome. But we're not watching his eyes. Where his eyes take you directly to where he's going. He threw a pick against Ohio State because of it.
I think Dabo's got that team in the spot. I think it's going to be a more competitive game than everybody else thinks.
It's going to be competitive. Don't let me lie. I just think Joe Burrow is the better quarterback.
I'll agree with you. I'm going to agree with you.
And I think he's gonna do something. Like, there's going to be some kind of blitz late in the game, and he's going to maneuver and just show you why he's the best quarterback in the country.
Well, you and I have agreed that Joe is number one, the guy. And if he does something special then I'm not going to be upset that he goes to Cincinnati.
I don't know. I got to do some more evaluating before I go full Joe as QB1.
I'm full Joe.
I know you're full Joe, but I'm going to go back and watch because, you know, I'm still a Tua fan. And I'm going to go watch and make sure that I'm not being a recency bias guy.
Okay.
I want to do some evaluation. We're going to come back to that later on. It's a couple other episodes. But
yeah.
All right, Chris. Well, that's about it. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Follow us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button. Search A Little Pocket Awareness. We're live at Marley's in Chandler Fashion Square. Come see us live at Marley's. Then go to Spotify, too. Hit the download button. A Little Pocket Awareness. Search, download, follow me on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL. Follow Chris at @KingManellos.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You know what? You did a great job, and I might be cutting you off.
Yeah.
You forgot about Facebook.
I forgot about Facebook.
We're on that Facebook.
Little Pocket Awareness Facebook.
That episode's going to drop right there on Facebook.
Yes, we're everywhere. So make sure you go ahead and check us out. Got any last words, Chris?
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. All right. We'll see you later. We'll see you next week.